The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Hello, welcome to a brand new episode of Airing of Grievances. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Micah.
Hey.
All right, guys, we're back. This episode is entitled The Raincoats. This is the double episode in season 5, episode 18 and 19, according to Wikipedia. This one basically deals with Jerry and George's parents, for the most part. And Jerry's parents come up from Florida. They live in Florida because they're Jews. And they come up to Florida. They come up to New York because they're taking a flight to Paris for vacation. And they come to see Jerry and before they leave. Meanwhile, they sort of don't want to hang out with George's parents while they're in town. And you kind of find out that they don't really like them. And that's pretty hilarious. Elaine is dating a guy who is a close talker, which is not something I approve of at all. And Kramer is trying desperately to buy and sell vintage clothing at this place in New York. What did you think of this episode?
The pair of these episodes, as you said offline, they're funnier than I remember them being, and they have everything that a good Seinfeld episode should have. Quirky characters like the close talker, Aaron. That's
Judge Reinhold.
Judge Reinhold, right? And the parents, man. And the parents
are so good.
The parents are great in these two episodes, man. And the fact that the Seinfelds, like the revelation that you find out that the Seinfelds hate the Costanzas, like it adds a layer to the relationships that, you know, we haven't really seen before. And it's something that people can relate to. Look, I got family members that I don't even like.
That's fair.
So, that's fair. I get it, man. Yeah, these couple of episodes are really, really good.
So the episode starts out with George and Jerry. They're in Monk's, and they're talking. They're just like bantering back and forth about whatever. And a friend of theirs comes in, and he's like, "Hey, he's got this kid with him, and he's like, "Hey, do you want to sign up for like the Big Brothers Club? Like this is one of the kids I deal with." Like, and he goes to George. He's like, "Hey, do you want to sign up?" And this kid gives this like guilty thing, like, "Would you like to sign up and help a kid like me?"
And like, it's prepared, right? Like,
yeah, it's super prepared
because he's doing it off of memory. And whenever anyone addresses the kid, he's just like, "Wouldn't you like to help a young child like me?" Like, all right, Joey.
We get it. We get it.
Somebody asked me to do this once.
Yeah, someone asked me to do this as well. I'm going to assume that you didn't, considering that I've never heard you say, "Hey, my little brother," or whatever, through this program. Why didn't you do it?
Because fuck kids, man.
Yeah.
Especially somebody else's kids, man. And look, it would be one thing if the kids were of a certain were young enough that I can still like manipulate them.
Yes.
But the kids that they wanted me to deal with were in their, you know, in their tweens, getting ready to be in their teens.
No, absolutely not.
Hey, you better get, these were problem kids.
Yeah, see, that's, yeah, look, I commend anybody who does the Big Brother, Big Sister program. It's not for me.
Can I
just write a check? See, I'm a piece of shit, right? Like, can I just write a check for these kids? Like, I don't want to deal with your badass kids.
Right.
Like, it's not my fault you abandoned them.
Right. The parents don't want to deal with them? Then I'm not going to deal with
them. No. I need it. Like, if I'm going to be a big brother or what have you, I want it to be where it's like, "Oh, little Joey is 4. And then I'm like, "Hey, buddy, I can help steer you in the right direction."
Yeah.
You 15, man. Look, you probably got a knife. You don't like my opinions. I don't like your opinions. You're probably already having sex. Like, get out of here, man. No, I ain't got time for all that. You figure it out on your own.
Yeah, no.
No.
I would never do it.
I would never do it. You know when I would do it? I would do it when I was rich. So I have to be rich. Rich and aloof. Because I don't have kids, right? I'm not going to have kids. So if I'm like rich and aloof, then I'd be like, "Fine, I will allow one lucky child to bask in the glow that is my wealth."
You have a Willy Wonka style like golden ticket competition.
I will send out golden tickets to 7 random poor kids around Baltimore City and bring them in and be like, now we will go through this maze, and if you make it through without fucking up, then you can inherit this podcast empire at the end.
No.
Don't do that.
I would not agree to that stipulation. And I don't even have that much of a say. No, I don't agree with that.
We're not giving it to Tyrone. Fuck that.
Right.
Fuck that kid.
Right. And I honestly, if I were to do it, I wouldn't do it in Baltimore.
No, why not?
Because these little badass kids in Baltimore, like, nah, yo. Like, they don't appreciate shit. They don't, yo. They don't. I've been around too many little Baltimore kids. They don't appreciate a goddamn thing.
That seems fair, actually. That seems totally fair.
Bastards.
Help out kids. But don't ask us to do it. Now, George has this bright idea that he's going... Now that he's agreed to it, because he's a total sucker. Now he's agreed to it. The guy, by the way, didn't even bother asking Jerry.
Right.
Because like, Jerry was like, don't even look over here. Because Jerry's an asshole. He'll just say straight up, like, no, not going to do it. Like, in front of the kid. Like, nah, fuck that kid. But George agrees to do it, and because of that, he feels stuck. So he decides that he's going to create this elaborate lie, as George often wants to do, and say that he has to go to France on business, knowing that Jerry's parents are going to France. So then he bought postcards, filled them all out, and is going to have his Jerry's parents mail the postcards to this guy from France. So that it seems like he's gone, so that he can avoid doing the big brother thing.
This is a lot of work just to be like, I don't want to do this.
Like, yeah.
I changed my mind.
One, it's a lot of work. Two, you're not going to be in Paris forever. So eventually you'll come back, and eventually the guy's going to be like, oh, so you're back. Cool. Like, can you do it now?
Right. Right.
So what then? Oh, I got to go to Argentina next. Like, you know, I feel like George didn't think that lie through all the way. Then we get a scene of George and Jerry's parents. Jerry's parents are at his apartment. And meanwhile, there's this whole like backstory that Jerry has this girlfriend that we haven't met yet, and they haven't had time to spend together because she lives with her parents, and now his parents are in town, and they clearly want to bang.
Yeah.
And by the way, when we meet her later, I'm like, yeah, I get that. She's a good looking woman, man. I forget. She's been in a number of things. But Jerry's parents blow off George's parents for dinner that night. They're like, yeah, we got plans. Like, which plans?
Plans.
Yeah, I don't know. And then when George leaves, they're like, yeah, we didn't have any fucking plans. Fuck the Costanzas. Kramer comes in, and he's talking about... he's like all about like this vintage wear and all this other shit, and like buying vintage clothing and all this, because he's a doofus. You buying vintage clothing like with a job and all?
No, I've seen vintage clothing stores and consignment shops,
yeah,
and stuff like that. And
look, you know what they are? That's just the white version of a thrift store.
That's all it is. It's so just a thrift
consignment
store.
Shops are just ones that they make money off of when you sell your clothes,
right? And I don't. I've been in a consignment shop with my wife, because she's as cheap as I am, and she's always looking for a deal.
Oh, my wife loves thrift stores. Are you kidding?
As long as it looks cute and you save some money, yeah, whatever, right?
Now my wife hasn't done this in a while, but it's because her friend doesn't live in the States anymore. They used to literally go the first Sunday of every month. At the thrift stores, there was like, you know, like a deal or something like 50% off. Yeah. You know, it's like a shirt is a nickel anyway. It's like, who cares?
Right.
But they would literally just go through and because my wife is like big into like fashion and shit. I buy my shirts at Target. But yeah. I don't give a shit. Does it fit? Cool. Great. But they would literally go and see what high-end fashion stuff they could find in thrift stores. Like who they would have like a contest of who could find like, oh, DKNY or some other brand, you know, Louis blah 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 blah.
Right.
But like that's what they would do. And then they would come home with like a ton of shit.
Like, oh, go to Marshall's. They have a lot of goods. I'm like, I don't even know where a Marshall's is.
Oh, I know where one is. I you know what? I only go to Marshall's. So it, depending on where you are listening to this. So Marshall's is like TJ Maxx, basically. Yeah. Like that's another kind of one of those stores. But they have, you can find like quality shit in there, but you got to dig.
Yeah. I ain't doing all that.
I only do that when I want to buy gym clothes. Because I go and buy, I find Under Armour. Because Under Armour is really expensive.
Yeah, it's super. It's ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, I went to a store. I went to a Modell's, which is the biggest piece of shit store of all time. It's like a Dick's Sporting Goods or whatever here. And it's closing down. So I'm like, cool. They're like, closing warehouse, closing sale. I'm like, all right, cool. I can get some like Under Armour stuff. I can get like some like good workout stuff. No. Everything is on sale except the Under Armour. Right. That's $35 for a t-shirt.
Right, because they bought that shit at cost. Yeah. And they're selling it at cost.
Yeah, there ain't no deal on that. $35 for a t-shirt. Yo, I'm sweating in it. Like, no. Come on, man. Like, get out of my face. Fuck out of here. So then we meet Elaine's boyfriend, played by Judge Reinhold. I don't remember this character's name.
I think his name is Aaron.
Oh, okay. And Aaron, played by Judge Reinhold, he's a close talker. So he just like walks right up on people and like gets right in their face and talks to them. I really don't like that. That makes me feel very uncomfortable. No.
Yeah. I was at a 90th birthday party for the matriarch of my family. And some of my family members, they like they are close talkers, man. And the shit is just fucking weird. And you know, it's if you step back, they step forward, right? Especially if it's like crowded, you know, because they can't hear you. So
these are older folks?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they probably can't hear you.
Right.
So they gotta stand closer.
I understand that. But you know what? Like,
learn to read lips.
Learn to read lips. Tell me you can't hear me. I will position myself in a way that if danger happens, I can break out, right? Like, and not trample you, right? Because if somebody yells fire, spoiler alert for next episode, you might get trampled on.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm just saying. So, yeah, I don't.
Jordan, nah. You know what? I'll tell you offline. I actually have an idea.
You ever do that just to fuck with people?
What?
Be a close talker? I dare you to close talk Terrence.
No, Terrence would probably hit me. Like, no, that is 100% true. Because he would be like, what the fuck are you doing? Actually, because Terrence is not here. He's on his way here for us to record. You know what? I'm gonna do it. I'm going to see how many, let's take a bet right now, how many seconds before he says, what the fuck are you doing?
Oh, man. This is like name that tune.
Yeah.
I can name that tune in 0.5 seconds.
I guarantee it is no more than 2 seconds. There's no way. Okay, here's a better bet. I give him 2 seconds to say something. I give him 4 seconds to literally put his arm out. Like, to literally put his arm. I think if you started walking towards him, he would probably be like, no. Like, no.
You know what? I think he'll go for the arm first.
I think that's probably true.
Yeah, actually. I think he'll go for the stiff arm first. And then, you know, it'll be like, it'll almost be at the same time, but I feel like the arm will come first before it's like, what you doing?
Yeah, because I feel like Terrence, even though he pretends to be the nicest guy in the room, bullshit. No. Terrence is always ready for a fight. Right. He probably thinks like, "Oh, we fight now? All right,
right, right.
Okay, apparently I have to fight Jay. I didn't realize that was happening. Like, this is what's going on. All right, so we're gonna test that theory, and we will put that in the fan group. Exactly how many seconds it took. My wager is 4 seconds before the arm comes out. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, I say half that. I say 2 seconds or less, he'll have that arm out.
All right, that's fair. That's fair. It's going to be funny. there's a decent chance I get punched right in the face. So the scene where Kramer meets Aaron is really fucking funny because Aaron just corners Kramer right up against the refrigerator. And Kramer does like pretty good physical comedy and just falls down. He just slams right into it and just falls down. Aaron is a disturbingly nice person.
Yeah.
I don't like people like this.
Yeah, no.
And he's, I like, all of my friends have a dark edge to them.
Yeah, they should. Yeah. Otherwise, like...
I don't trust you.
Yeah, no. No, I don't trust you at all. Like, Canadians have this, like, stereotype that they're all really nice. No, they're not.
No, that's impossible.
They're dicks, too.
Yeah,
especially French Canadians. While I enjoyed my time in Montreal, them motherfuckers look down on you if you don't speak French first.
Of course. I would just be yelling words. Poutine, American, Trump, good. Wait. Okay, so we had to take a quick pause to come back because we actually had the exact opportunity to pull off our test with Terrence, who just arrived. I unlocked the back door. Terrence is standing outside of my house. I immediately walk up and get uncomfortably close to him. It took all of about a second and a half before Terrence said, "What the fuck are you doing?" And the jig was up. So we were both off. We gave Terrence way too much credit.
And I give props to you because Terrence literally was balling his fist up. As if he was, and you called it. He was like, "Yo, we're going to have to fight for some reason. I don't know what the fuck is going on."
He didn't ask any questions about why are we fighting. He was just ready to throw
like
down.
You opened the door, and you just started walking at me. I'm like, hold up. At first, I thought you were trying to walk outside, but then you just kept coming at me. I'm like,
I guess we just gonna have to fight.
This is gonna go down. How the fuck is going on?
Like, damn, I thought we were doing a podcast tonight. Apparently, just beating the shit out of each other outside of Jay's house. No, it was just an experiment. But it turns out we were like relatively correct.
Yeah, relatively.
Way too much credit. So then we get a scene with Kramer wearing a raincoat.
A beltless raincoat.
The beltless trench coat, aka the executive that Morty Seinfeld actually invented back in the day. And Kramer got it at a vintage shop. And Morty's like, "Hey, I got like 50 of those sitting in my garage back in Florida. You know, you think I could sell them up here?" And Kramer's like, "Yeah, you know, they're like super hot and all this other stuff." I hate trench coats. I don't think they look good. They look like something a pervert wears that needs to be burned with a portable flamethrower. No.
I used to have a trench coat.
Of course you did.
I mean, you know.
That makes all the sense.
When I was younger, I used to love those things, man. They were like capes.
There's too much fabric. Like, there's like just too much going on. There's like flaps and fucking belts and shit. Like, no.
Yeah,
it's like Inspector Gadget.
That's what I called it when I was younger. It was an Inspector Gadget coat.
Oh, you're such a dork. Hey, wanted to wear that. He also wants a helicopter coming out of the top of his head. I don't appreciate trench coats. Although I will say this, the idea of a woman wearing a trench coat with nothing under it, a la Boomerang, is absolutely fine.
What if it was that woman?
What woman?
Robin Givens.
Yeah, no, I support that. 100%. Mm. That is 100% I support that. However, Robin Givens is like kind of a crazy person.
Yeah. Like, she would open it up and it would look like one of them Halloween skeleton costumes.
Yeah.
Because it's just like ain't nothing there.
Yeah. That's real sad. That was a sad transition. She is lost everything. Just still think of her in Boomerang and just let that be your memory. Then we get a scene where Elaine is basically like, "Hey, Aaron, you're a fucking psycho. Stop being crazy." And he's like, "I'm just a nice guy. I just want to help people." She's like, no. I'm telling you, man, I don't like people who are too nice. That shit makes me uncomfortable.
I don't like people who are too nice, and I don't like people who claim to be the nicest person in the room.
Yeah, because those people are liars.
Those people are ready to fight at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, apparently.
Those people are ready to fight at someone greeting them for some strange reason.
Right. What if I was having an aneurysm and I was just falling forward? No, it wouldn't matter because Terrence would have punched me in the head. Apparently.
I wasn't falling forward.
just like really slowly. I might be having a fucking embolism. Like,
okay.
You just have an embolism and a head injury. Apparently. So Jerry at this point is like really trying to get his parents, like his dad is like, oh, you know, I'm gonna call Jack Klompas, my neighbor down in Florida, to ship these boxes of raincoats up. And Jerry's like, yeah, like, all right, don't not leave and like stick around because, you know, really trying to fuck my girlfriend. And so Morty calls Jack Klompas, who, by the way, is a great character.
I love him. He's the perfect wrestling heel because I hate his guts, right? But I'm fascinated when he's on.
Well, and he also has a great voice.
Yeah, he does.
It's like he's got the stereotypical...
Take the pen.
Yeah, he's got the New York Jewish thing, but he's got this gravelly voice. Ah, just take the pen.
Take the pen. Mm-hmm. No, trust me. Take the pen.
That episode's already passed. Like episode or season three, I think.
Yeah.
So he calls Jack Klompas and he's like, fine, I'll ship the boxes up to you or whatever. Meanwhile, we cut to George's parents who are arguing back and forth and wondering why the Seinfelds don't want to hang out with them. And it's because they're annoying. And they argue all the time openly and they're fucking crazy people. And it's like, oh, I can't imagine why they don't want to hang out with us.
I mean, where's the lie?
Yeah, right. George takes his father's vintage clothes down to the store that Kramer's been shopping at, and sells them because he says, oh, my dad doesn't wear any of this stuff, so I can make some money off of it. You selling your parents' clothes for cash and lying and saying they're dead?
Wouldn't nobody want them? You think, look, did I show you a picture of that Tony the Tiger sweater that my father got me?
Yeah,
you think right. Somebody gonna want to buy that?
Does he still have that? Does he still wear it?
No, he gave it to me.
I know, but then I thought you were like, nah, I can't.
I took it, and I've never worn it. Yeah. And it's sitting at the bottom of one of the drawers in our spare bedroom. I don't even want it to be near the master bedroom. Just get it out of here. You think somebody buying that? Nah, yo. Nah.
If my mom occasionally at this point, my mom... has a tendency to just give my wife things. She doesn't not worry about me. She doesn't give a shit about me anymore. Because that's how it works when you're married. If my mom like got me something I didn't like, I don't want it.
My dad gave me a sweater, and I was like, oh, okay, this sweater looks pretty decent. It's got like it's dark, and it's got like a hint of like maroon in it. You know, like someone took a. I'm like, all right. Then I look at the neck. I'm like, what the fuck is up with this collar? Like the shit, I thought it was a woman's
like a plunging
sweater.
Like a plunging V-neck.
Well, because it was like a boa sewn into the sweater, right? Yeah, like
I don't care for that.
It was weird, man. It was weird. I'm like, I can't wear this. And my wife is like, oh well, maybe. Like, no, I'm not wearing it. I can't wear it. Get me some sweaters for Christmas because I ain't wearing this.
I'm going to be freezing.
Right.
That's funny.
Yeah. My dad, he used to have a decent sense of style, but like he's old. You know what
I mean?
Yeah.
Once you get old, like
you get old, like that's it, yo.
Especially guys, I feel like.
A lot of plaid shorts. You know what I mean? Like
that's lazy, man.
I ain't wearing plaid shorts. He gave me a pair of plaid shorts at one point. I'm like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with these?
Like, the last time I checked, your son ain't white? Fuck out of here. So I mean, put on plaid shorts and boat shoes? Get the fuck out of here.
Right. Like, it's just...
Got a reputation to keep up.
Ugh.
It's like my brother-in-law... You can guarantee when you see him, I mean, he's like a dad of four, right? Like, you can guarantee when you see him that he is wearing, in the summertime, he is wearing cargo shorts and a golf shirt almost 100% of the time. And khaki color cargo shorts and a single color golf shirt, like navy blue.
Khaki shirt. You know what? Now that I think about it. Yeah. Yeah.
Always. He's like Ronald McDonald. Like, He opens his closet and it's like 95 of the same outfit. Like it's the same thing.
Just palette swap. He's got a player one outfit, a player two outfit.
The one that's safe for TV, right? You know. That's it. So Jerry eventually gets his pretty attractive girlfriend to come over, and they're making out, and he's like, oh no, we got to stop. You know, my parents are going to be back soon. And it's like they're like teenagers, basically. And she's all hot and bothered about it. And she's like, all right, fine, we'll stop. And they're both freaking out because they got two more days of this shit before they can bang. I'm like, just get a hotel.
Yeah, yo. Like,
is it, if it's that serious, just get a hotel.
Right.
Also, her hair is way too big.
I would risk it, though, because that's a very attractive 90s woman.
Yeah, no. No, she could get it. I'd be like, look, sorry, mom and dad. You know how I got here.
Right. You're going to have to. I think Kramer wants you for something. Go over there.
Yeah. Go hang out with Aaron at the museum. I'm going to fucking go to work. Go to work on this this 90s stand-in woman. So then we find out that Jack Klompus couldn't get into the garage. He's like, oh, I tried jiggling the key. And him and Morty have this like back and forth, like, just jiggle it. I fucking jiggled it. Like, this is like going back and forth. It's actually a hilarious scene. Just two angry old Jewish guys yelling at each other. Then George's parents decide that they're going to go on a cruise. And George's dad is like, I can't go on a cruise because I can't find any of my cabana clothes, which are the clothes that George thought he didn't wear anymore. So he sold to this vintage company.
You were Tommy Bahama?
Who the fuck are you talking to? No. What?
If you look up Tommy Bahama.
I know what the clothes look like. They're hideous. Is that what your dad wears?
Yeah.
Oh.
He has a couple Tommy Bahama. He has a couple Tommy Bahama shirts.
Yo, absolutely not, man. Absolutely. Look, nah, man. Nah.
Love my dad to death, man, but like,
nah, don't do that. Don't do that. No, the funny thing is, so like, my wife and I have another couple that we know that are much older than us, right? They're kind of like our, like, they're like in.
She's looking at Tom Bahama clothes.
Terrence is found there. Like, come on, man. It's a lot. There's a lot of palm trees and.
Yeah, they're like incredibly expensive to be ugly. Yeah.
Nah, man, I'm not wearing those clothes. Get the fuck out of here. Who's wearing that? But like we have a couple that we're friends with, and they're in their 60s, and the husband, like, that is his like go to place to shop, and I'm just like.
Tom Bahama. Like, yeah, nah, yeah. My dad's in his 60s and he just, they're comfortable.
Like, yeah, right. You know what? That's what it is. Because they're just big, flowy fucking shirts.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm kind of in shape, dog. Like, I ain't trying to cover up. I need people to see all the effort that I put in. Fuck that. Yeah, when you get out of shape and you're old, just like, look, I just need a judge's robe. I don't give a fuck.
Right.
You ain't trying to worry about it. And look, I will cross that bridge. That very large bridge when I get there. So, nah, fuck that. So then, like, there's a whole thing. Jerry and his girlfriend, they go to see Schindler's List, right? Because early on, Jerry's mom is like, you need to see Schindler's List. You're Jewish. You need to see this movie.
Right.
Him and his girlfriend, they go to see Schindler's List, and they end up just making out the entire time. I've never seen Schindler's List, but I feel like it's a movie I'm not sure I could make out to. Seems a little extreme.
I guess you've never been that hard up, because...
No. Here's a question. Have you gone to a movie that you did not plan on really watching just to make out with a girl?
Yes.
What was the movie? Do you remember?
Oh, shit. It was when my wife and I were first dating. And I didn't know her movie proclivities yet. And I was just like, yo, this is really fucking bad. And yo, is that the movie?
that was fine. Go ahead. That was fine. And
it was really bad, and I just tried to take this opportunity to be a pervert and feel her up, and she didn't push me away, so I was like, oh, all right.
Don't need to see this movie. And you don't remember what the movie was?
I literally, that's how much I was not paying attention to that movie.
Well, I don't remember much about it either, but the movie that I solely went to see to just make out with this hot Latino chick back in the day, who... not age well. sorry. She's like working at a lady footlocker. I was like, oh, yeah. I saw her one day. I was like, well, dodge that bullet. I saw the 1997 American comedy classic, The Sixth Man.
Wow.
Starring Marlon Wayans and Kadeem Hardison.
Now, Kadeem Hardison was the dead guy helping Marlon Wayans play basketball. Is that,
yes.
Is that the premise of this?
I believe that is true.
American comedy classic?
Yeah. Yeah. This is one for black on black cinema.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. No, I don't remember much of this movie. But I do remember making out with her for like 2 hours, basically.
Wow.
Hmm. Or 108 minutes, as Wikipedia
says. It's a hell of a sacrifice to make.
Yeah.
Having to listen to The Sixth Man. Like, I don't look. I mean, I wouldn't even be able
I mean,
to,
I probably didn't hear much of that over wet kissing noises, which is disgusting.
I hope so. I would rather hear a bunch of wet kissing noises. Like, you know how if you like are into it, but then you hear something and it kind of takes you out of it real quick. I have to imagine that 108 minutes of the Sixth Man is too much of a distraction to kind of get it going. Like, I know you guys weren't fucking in the movie theater.
No, we were not.
But, yeah, wow. Nah.
Even you would go see The Sixth Man.
Nah, yeah, nah.
I'll never see this movie. Like, that is a guarantee, but it will forever be burned in my memory that I went and I paid good, hard-earned money to see The Sixth Man at Security Square Mall.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I did.
You must have really wanted to make out with that chick. Like,
I did.
I get it now. Like, yeah. Movie be damned.
Yeah, Security Square Mall. Yeah. That is not a good movie.
The kid run up and down the aisle screaming, The Sixth Man!
Right, exactly. Oh, my God. But yeah, that's what I forced myself to pay for. Worth it. So then we come to find out that when Jerry and his girlfriend were at the movie to see The Sixth Man, they were spied on by Newman. Newman was there, noticed that they had been making out the entire time, and Newman, as a Jewish man, was also very pissed off at them. So Newman goes and rats to Jerry's parents and to this woman's parents. Somehow he found out where she lived and said, oh, yeah, they were making out.
What kind of a bitch nigga goes to somebody's mom to rat them out, to talk about that person?
I didn't notice that until like you were halfway through that statement. Yeah. You have to have a pretty small dick, I suppose. Good. That's right. You fucking deserve that. You ain't shit. So yeah.
I'm just making humorous observations. That's
yeah, awesome. No, look, I mean, it's very, very Seinfeldian of you. Yes. So when Jerry comes home, his parents are like right up his ass about it. Like, how could you make out during Schindler's List? And he's like, oh, we just got hot and heavy. He's like, we started making out like during the credits, the opening credits and, or coming attractions. And then, by the time I looked up, the war was over. That movie's 3 hours long, by the way. Have you ever seen Schindler's List?
No, hell no. No.
No, I've never seen it.
I have no desire to see it.
I feel like that's the last, like,
studying film. I have no desire to see Schindler's List.
The funny thing is, I'm not opposed to seeing it, but I can't take fucking Liam Neeson seriously. Like, I can't anymore.
There's only
the most serious movie I've ever seen Liam Neeson in at this point, like in recent memory, is like The Gray.
Oh, ain't nothing serious about The Gray.
Thank you. Exactly. The Taken movies are not serious.
I can't see. I barely got through Detroit. So I can't sit and watch a bunch of people get the shit kicked out of them for 3 hours.
Yeah. Holocaust movies are. That's a little rough.
Yeah.
They're a little rough.
Yeah.
And 3 hours of. Yeah. Okay. More of this. Great.
All right.
Hours of
how to bake a Jew in 45 minutes. Like, nah, man.
Did you? Mm-hmm. What'd you think? Pretty rough movie?
It's pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
Then it's in black and white.
Wait. This had to have been in New York. No. You saw this at Randall's Town?
Yeah. Don't ask me why.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it seems weird.
Class. It was some class.
Do you have a Jewish teacher?
But I did see him in school.
Wow.
It's very weird.
Interesting.
I'm surprised by that. Like, Randallstown was trying to be all cultured and shit.
Yeah, right.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Or did your black ass teacher was like, yo, I heard this movie is all about killing white people. Let's watch it.
Like, oh shit, this is not the movie I thought it was.
Schindler got a list of all these motherfuckers that's about to get murked, son.
That sounds more like Randallstown High School. That sounds incredibly accurate. Like, guys, I don't think this is what that movie's about. It's really funny. So Kramer ends up coming over to the Costanzas, and he's wearing one of George's dad's shirts, and George's dad is like, "Your friends are trying to steal my clothes," and he just starts attacking Kramer. And then you come to find out that George sold the clothes to this vintage shop.
Jerry Stiller as Frank Costanza is the funniest fucking character in all of television.
He's got to be one of the best. He's definitely one of the best side characters on this entire show.
Yeah,
definitely.
Quite frankly, of all time.
Oh, I love Jerry Stiller.
I love the Frank Costanza character, man, and it's. You remember we talked about it before, but another actor was supposed to be George's dad. He passed away. Jerry Stiller came in, filled in.
Right.
I don't know if you remember that guy. I can't imagine that guy doing the things that Jerry Stiller does as Frank Costanza.
No, I can't either. Because one, Jerry Stiller is even as old as he was at the time, was a pretty physical comedian.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's probably in his like, late 60s, early 70s at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, he only died maybe 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
Something like that. And so, yeah, he's pretty good from a physical comedy standpoint. And he's also hilarious because he can go from like that sort of whisper to screaming thing, which is always beneficial. I don't know. He's just a fucking funny guy. Like, he just is. Turns out those Stiller boys are pretty good.
Jerry Stiller is still alive. He is 90 years old.
I thought Jerry Stiller died.
He is 90.
Yeah, he'll be dead soon, man. Damn, I could have sworn Jerry Stiller was dead.
Yeah, probably because he's fucking 90 years old.
Oh, you know who I'm thinking of? I think it's the father from Everybody Loves Raymond. I can't remember that actor's name.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Who is also a really funny character, by the way. Character actor. So from there we get the raincoats finally come and they're a mess and they're like packed poorly and they're just all over. And because they were sent late, Morty, Jerry's parents basically missed their flight. They decide to cancel their flight so he can deal with this raincoat issue. George takes their ticket because they're on a charter flight. So George takes their ticket and then he takes the ticket and goes to France and takes the little boy with him.
It's fucking weird, yo.
It's super weird.
Yeah.
Because he's taking the little boy with him from the Big Brothers Club because that kid's father is in France, so he's reuniting him with him.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. Morty and Kramer come in to sell all these raincoats and they got this big plan to make all this money. And the guy refuses to take it because he's not taking any more clothes on the outside because of moths.
Right.
Because
his clothes were moth-ridden.
The Costanzas were, yeah. So then, like, they basically just yell at each other, and it's just ridiculous. Then the Seinfelds head back to Florida instead of going to Paris. And Aaron is at the airport with them. With Jerry and Elaine, and he pulls the fucking Schindler's List thing. Like, this watch could have bought them a one more trip, or this ring could have helped them stay one more day, because that was the whole thing with Schindler. That's what he did, giving up his own personal possessions to save people from the Holocaust. Which, I mean, That's
okay. Hey, I wouldn't do it.
Not during the Holocaust.
I don't know that.
You're a terrible Jew. You don't look out for your own people.
Black people now, apparently.
No, you don't.
Well, because a lot of them are acting stupid.
Yeah.
Soft, niggas.
Yeah, our people are kind of fucking up lately, man. They really are. The final scene, which I thought was really great, is Newman coming in to Monk's, and Elaine and Jerry are there. And they're like, they see Newman, and Jerry's like, hey, didn't realize that you were at Schindler's List the other day. And he's like, oh, yeah. I was there. And then he was like, yeah, brutal film. And Newman's like, yeah, it was really, really, really hard and like really harsh. And he goes, yeah, that's not going to compare to what I do to you. And then he chases him out of the Monk's. Which, yeah, I would have, if somebody was like ratting out to my parents and then I saw them, yeah, I'd have a fucking problem with them face to face too.
Absolutely. Imagine.
Absolutely.
I imagine that you would it would cause them to flee the coast.
Yeah, well, maybe
for another one.
Yeah, maybe. Interesting. Fucking anyway,
violent individual.
Yeah, take about a second and a half.
Surrounded by lunatics.
You're too close, man. You're too close. So then, lastly. The Costanzas and the Seinfelds end up on the same cruise with each other, unbeknownst to them, and they run into each other, even though they hate each other by the end.
There you go.
All right. Credits. Any lasting impressions on this episode?
Couple of really funny episodes. They brought back some fan favorite characters, and they introduced an incredibly memorable character. It was good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it very much.
Very solid. All right, guys. That's it for us on this week's episode of Airing Grievances. We will see you next time.
See ya.
Bye. Bow, 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 bow.
Really?